Good morning, everyone. How are we all? Good to have you back, guys. This morning, we are talking all about this book in my hand, God's Word, the Holy Bible. And I was talking to Angie about my first Bible yesterday that I ever got. It was a gift that was given to me by my godmother, I think. So I was really, really young. And it was in this bright green, kind of furry case. And it was a case with Larry the Cucumber on it. So if you don't know Larry the Cucumber, he's from this, you know, very popular kids show called VeggieTales back in the day. And he had just these massive, massive eyes and a big nose that protruded out. So that was my Bible that I carried around with me and got lots and lots of compliments on it until, you know, I reached my teenage years and suddenly didn't feel so confident with this bright green furry face on my Bible. So this morning we're talking all about the Bible, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we kind of all have different experiences with the Bible. Some of us can have an experience like maybe we're very proud of our, you know, Larry the Cucumber Bible. Others of us might struggle with the Bible. Some of us can see this book as something that's just full of really interesting stories. Some of us can see it as this is just history, really. Some people can see it as there's some really good advice in here. And really, some other people can see this is just a bunch of rules in this book. We can all have very different perspectives on the Bible and its relevance for us today. So today we're going to talk about what does the Word of God have to do with us, and how can we actually practically be spending time being shaped by God's living truth. Let me pray for us and we can get into the message. God, I want to thank you for your word. We've heard a few passages read to us this morning already, and we know that your word is powerful, it's alive, and it's actively shaping all who read it. So as we open up your word this morning and talk about its relevance for us today, Lord, I pray that you would be ministering to us. I pray that you would use my words. I pray that you would encourage us and challenge us. Follow in your footsteps, Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. So, as Andy mentioned before, this sermon series this morning is part of us as a church kind of redefining and rediscovering what our purpose is as a gathered community. It's this question: why do we exist? Why do we gather here on a Sunday? And why do we do what we do throughout the rest of the week as well? And in essence, our calling as a community, we believe, is we want this to be home. For all of us and for anyone else out there, we want this to feel like home. And we want to be growing together to glorify Jesus. And some of the key ways we want to be doing that is through a focus on God's word, through worship, and through witnessing to the goodness of God. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at those three W words, and today is the first one, the word. That makes sense. So when we say that we want to commit to God's word, and sorry, Cornell, you're just going to have to give it a go. Yeah, thanks, mate. When we say that we want to commit to God's word, we're actually talking about committing ourselves to two things, because when we talk about God's word, we're talking basically about how God has revealed himself to us. How is God communicating to us who he is? And as Christians, or as Baptists, we believe that God has revealed himself to us through two main ways, through two words. The first word is this logos, which is talked about in John chapter 1. And this is referring to Jesus himself. So when Jesus came to earth, he showed us who God is. And he showed us what it looks like to follow him, right? So that's the first word that is revealed to us about God. And the second word is this one that we're going to be looking at this morning, which in Greek is about, graphe or grammar. And you might be able to figure out the etymology of those words there. But this is talking about how God has revealed himself to us through the written down words, through scripture, written by people but inspired by the Spirit of God. And so as a community that's committed to growing together to glorify Jesus, it's essential that we're growing in our relationship with the Word of God. And that means we're growing our relationship with Jesus, but we're also growing in our relationship with his written Word, the Bible. And so today we're looking at the latter of these two definitions of word. We're not looking at the logos, we're looking at the graphe or the grammar in the Greek. Because as our passage speaks about today, we see Paul is talking to Timothy and encouraging him to spend time in this word of God, this written down scripture. So it's just some context for our passage in 2 Timothy. This passage was written by Paul, as I said, when he was in prison in Rome. It was possibly written between like 65 or 67 AD, so quite early on in the picture. And rather than writing to the whole church, like Paul might usually in his letters in the New Testament, he's actually just writing to one person here. And it's this kind of younger disciple who's learning the ropes of leadership, and his name is Timothy. And as Paul has written to Timothy, he's talking all about Timothy's spiritual formation. He's saying, how are you being formed as a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, but how are you also being formed as a leader in the church? And he calls Timothy to remember the lessons he's learned from Paul, to grow in his character that, as has been modeled to him by Paul, and to imitate the way that he has seen Paul live, as Paul imitates the way he's seen and heard Jesus live. And so, as I said, all of this is around this idea of spiritual formation. He's saying to go about following Jesus, we need to learn the truth. We need to grow in our own character and imitate the ways of Christ. And so we see this in the first part of our passage that we've read today. Paul says, but as for you, Timothy, he's talking to, as for you, continue in what you have learned and how you have learned it. As you follow Jesus yourself and as you seek to lead others in your own discipleship to Jesus, continue in your formation. Keep learning and growing. And how should Timothy do this? Well, Paul says, know the Holy Scriptures. For all Scripture is God-breathed. And so we see that there's this key truth in this encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy, and it is that foundational to our formation as disciples of Jesus. At the very foundation of our formation is an intimate knowledge and experience with God's Word. Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed. You see, when we open the pages of Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, it isn't just a history book. It's not just some interesting stories that we can read and think about. It's way more than just some bits of advice or some rules that tell people how to live. These are the very words that point us towards life itself. Just like when you go into an old dusty room that's, you know, been forgotten and you find something that is covered in dust, God's word is like a breath blowing through this world, uncovering things that are covered in dust. This book is full of the very words that have been breathed out by an awesome God towards a broken humanity. Another way of putting it is that while these words were written by human beings, they were divinely inspired and given to us by a God who wants us to know him intimately and to know his ways. And so as you know, the council and as the leadership of our church have spoken more about our new purpose statement, as we've met, I think every single time we've been more and more reminded of just right at the beginning of anything that we want to do as a community of people, right at the beginning, the first step is we have to know God. We have to grow in our intimacy with him. And so Paul says here, if you want to walk closely with God, you have to start with his word. Practically speaking, he says, God's word is useful for many things, such as teaching us who God is and what he's done. It's useful for rebuking us, you know, calling us to repent and turn away from our old lives and live in the way that Jesus calls us to. It's useful for correcting us. You know, as we walk down the path, the narrow road of following Jesus, God's word is useful in correcting us and getting us onto the right path again. And it's useful for training us so that we might grow in righteousness as God's people. Only then can the servant of God be equipped for every good work that God has prepared for us to do. See, Paul makes it clear to Timothy. He says, as you go about following Jesus and as you go about, you know, leading his people as part of the church as well, if you want to do those things well, then you need a foundation in God's word. You need an intimate knowledge and experience with his word. Foundational to our formation as disciples of Jesus is an intimate knowledge and experience of his word. So, how do we grow in our intimate knowledge of God's word? You know, it's one thing that we, should say, oh yeah, well, let's just read our Bibles more, right? But when we factor in, you know, all the different components of our weeks, you know, we have to go to work, maybe you have to go to school, or you have to do study. There's things around the house. There's a never-ending job list of things to do. I found that out when I moved out. It's easier said than done, right, to say, well, we're just going to read God's word more and then we'll do that. So what does it look like practically for us to actually put things in our life so that we can follow this call from Paul to keep growing in our knowledge and experience of God's word? Well, I have four practices that a guy named John Mark Comer has kind of put together, and I just wanted to share those with us. And my encouragement for us, my challenge, is as we go through these four things, I want you to be thinking, is there one of these things that you can give a go? Which one of these can you try? And maybe you already do some of these, and if you do, that's awesome. Keep doing those. But is there one of these things that you want to try as we practice being in God's word? And the four things are this. It says, he talks about reading regularly, talks about meditating on God's word, studying God's word, and memorizing God's word. So which one of these can you give a go? Let's go through them quickly. The first is about reading regularly. In a world of so many competing voices and algorithms and screens and just so many different things that are trying to pull our attention and distract us, a regular rhythm of sitting and reading God's word is essential for our spiritual formation. And you know that saying, you are what you eat, right? We know that saying? I don't really understand that, like what it's supposed to mean, but it makes sense in this context for me. The things that we choose to fill our days up with, the things we choose to consume day after day, slowly but surely those things start to form us and shape us. And so as people seeking to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, as people who want to be formed more to look like him, then we need to start a regular practice day after day of consuming his word. Now, this looks different for different people, but here's four things that we can think about as we think about, okay, how can I make a regular rhythm of spending time in God's word? As we make a plan for this, there's four things. First is think about where. Where can we go? Where is somewhere easy, somewhere accessible? Where can you go to spend time with God? Somewhere quiet where you won't be distracted. I used to go to the beach on my days off to go spend time with God there. And that was, in some senses, really, really good because it was nice and quiet and really, really good. But also not as helpful because it took an hour to get there, right? So it's helpful to be thinking about, well, where's a good place that I can go to spend time with God and in his word? Another thing is when. When in your week do you feel unhurried? When's a good time that you can actually just sit and rest and not be worried about what's coming next? And what? What are you going to read? Sometimes when we spend time in God's word, we just kind of open it up and just go, I'm going to read this, that kind of thing, right? And maybe that's helpful sometimes, but it's not helpful for building a regular rhythm. And so make a plan of what are you actually going to read? Are you going to read a book of the Bible? Are you going to read about a specific topic? Is there a Bible plan that you want to do? Is there a devotional that you want to look at? And then how are you going to do it? Make a plan of how. Are you a note taker? Are you a highlighter? Do you scribble in your Bible? Or if you're like me and you actually struggle to sit down and read, maybe instead, is it more about listening to God's word? You know, that's how the scriptures were consumed in Jesus' time. You know, the rabbi would get up in the synagogue and would speak it out over the people, and the people would sit and listen to the word. Is that something that you might find more helpful with your week? One thing I would say with a regular reading plan is start small. You don't start from not running at all and then suddenly the next day you start running a marathon, right? That's very unrealistic. I mean, maybe Arthur, you could do it. I know that you're very athletic, but I couldn't do that, that's for sure. And so you don't want to commit to totally changing your week from day one. But what you can do is you can start small. You can say, well, maybe 2 days or 3 days this week, if this isn't in your rhythm at all, I want to actually read a few verses and reflect on those things. And as you get into the rhythm of it, as you start to nail it and you're strengthening your Bible reading muscle, you can build up from there. But through all of this is this encouragement from Paul. He says, he's talking about how, you know, reading God's word isn't just for information in our heads. It's also about formation. So finding a rhythm in your life where you can regularly sit under God's word is so helpful for that. That's the first one, is reading regularly. Another one that this guy, John Mark Comer, talks about is meditating on God's word. Now, this has a rich history all throughout church history, is Christians actually being in a quiet space and meditating on God's word. And there's a bunch of different ways that you can do this, but one way is this process that's called Lectio Divina. And there are five easy steps to Lectio Divina, and I think there's a slide as well that has that on there. Step one of Lectio Divina is to pray. Pray, asking God to speak to you from his word. Step two is read. Just read the passage. Get to know the passage. Get to know what's happening in there. Step three is to read it again, but a bit slower. And look out for what sticks out to you. Reflect on those things. Step four, again, is to pray. And to let the things that have stood out to you from when you've reading it, let those be the focus of your conversation with God. What do you want to say to God about it? What do you think he's saying to you about those things? And then step five is to contemplate or rest. Be still and quiet and try to focus on what God might be saying to you, resting in the knowledge that he is with you. Now, this is one way that we can meditate on God's word. And actually, there's even an app called Lectio 365, which kind of takes you through daily devotionals and stuff where you can do that. But really, the whole point around all of meditating on God's word is actually a bit more of a, you know, you don't want to rush this process. So maybe, you know, it's actually, you're not doing it every single day. Maybe you are. But actually just finding and carving out a time in your week where you can go, okay, I'm going to dedicate some time. What's doing this? It's meditating on God's word. Another way that we can engage with God's word is through studying it, studying God's word. I remember being on a crew camp a few years ago. Actually, it was just up at Gulfstream Gorge, and we had spent all day talking about, you know, who Jesus is and what the Bible says about him. And then, you know, it was late at night, and I'm trying to get this group of, I think they're in year five boys to bed, and oh my goodness, they would not go to bed. And I'm trying to wrangle them into bed, and I'm like, just go to bed so I can turn the lights off. And one of them has his Bible open. He brought a Bible, and he is reading, and he reads this passage in Ecclesiastes, and he says, everything is meaningless. What does this mean, Ben? Why does it say everything is meaningless? I'm like, now I have a choice now. Like, do I try and explain this to them late at night, or I just go, look, let's talk about it tomorrow, and you can go to bed. I had no idea. But I think that, you know, really, for a lot of us when we read the Bible, we can kind of have a similar reaction, right? We open the Bible, we get excited, and then we read something like that, and we go, everything is meaningless? What does that even mean, right? Sometimes, well, actually a lot of the time, this Bible, the Word of God can actually be quite hard for us to understand. There are parts in there that are truly amazing, and, you know, we love to put them up on our walls in our homes or on our coffee cups or something like that. But then there's other parts there that, you know, just leave us scratching our heads, like, what is happening? And unfortunately, we know that misinterpreting the Bible is something that happens often, happens to all of us, right? And often when we misinterpret the Bible, people can be led in the wrong direction. So it is actually really important for us as disciples of Jesus to be learning this word and to be studying it and to trying and to wrestling with it, trying to see if we can understand what it's saying. John Mark Comer says that study is the patient application of our mind and heart to the process of learning what the text says, learning what it meant to the original audience, and learning what it means for us today. And so this is yet another way that we can engage with God's word, is actually getting into the nitty-gritty and doing the hard work as well of trying to understand what it says. And so this can be done in a few ways. Obviously, as part of our church community, we have life groups or Bible study groups where we can get into the nitty-gritty of stuff like that. But we can also apply this to our own lives and our own Bible reading habits as well. And some recommendations or some ways that we can do that is through listening to different teaching on it. You know, there's billions of sermons online, right? And they're all about different topics. And so we can find those topics. There's podcasts that we can listen to while we're driving or doing housework or things like that. The Bible Project is one group that I definitely recommend. And we've seen some of their videos as part of our services. And they really unpack passages of Scripture with some really awesome animation as well. We can talk to people that you know have done some study, either at Bible college or in other ways, on these passages. You can get a study Bible. Does anyone have a study Bible with them? Yeah? Awesome. Oh, there we go. It's good. Study Bible is it's a Bible, but they've added some, you know, historical context and some other things in there that really bring it to life so that we can understand it more. And then you can also get these things called commentaries, which I had never heard about until I went to Bible college, but my goodness, they're amazing. And these are people who have dedicated their life to studying something like the book of Joel, right? And they've written pages and pages and pages unpacking what this word means and what this word means and what this verse means. And so if there's a passage that you're interested in, get a commentary. They're not too expensive. Some of them are, but you can find them pretty cheap. Otherwise, you can always ask to borrow mine, or maybe Andy if he's happy to. I haven't asked with, but I'm sure he'd be happy to share some of them with you. I guess what I'm really saying is, you know, we've got some smart people in this room. Let's get our nerd on. You know, let's actually get into the passage and start to go, well, what does this say? And actually try and work it out for ourselves, wrestling with it. And as we do, let's take notes, let's reflect on those things, but let's also pray. Because remember, it's not just about information. It's about formation, being formed by God's word. And the last of the practices that we'll talk about this morning is memorizing God's word. And this is something that I remember doing heaps of when I was a kid in kids' church. I don't know about other people. You know, I had my Larry the Cucumber Bible, and I remember trying to memorize the verses, because if you did that, you'd go to kids' church and they'd give you a chocolate or something like that, right? I don't have any chocolates for us this morning, but I remember that being a really, really big focus when I was in kids' church, but not so much these days. We don't really talk about memorizing God's word as much as we did when I was in kids' church, at least. And yet, there have been so many times when, you know, by God's grace, those words that I memorized, you know, 20 years ago come back into my head, and they're a blessing and an encouragement. And so imagine the impact that God's word could have on us if we still made it a regular practice to try and memorize God's word. Again, the encouragement is to start small with this. Don't try and memorize the whole book of Matthew in one sitting. Find a verse or two or three that speak to you and encourage you in your walk with God. And maybe over a week, you can spend some time each day reading that passage, trying to memorize it. Some ways that we can memorize, that help us to memorize, is reading the passage out loud, actually voicing it with our mouth. You can write it out by hand. You can remember a few words at a time and then slowly work your way towards memorizing the whole passage. Another way is to recite it to another person as well. Now, I've mentioned the impact that memorizing God's word can have on us, but imagine the impact that memorizing God's word can have on other people as well. You know, when we sit with someone, when we hear about something that's going on for someone's life, just the encouragement or the inspiration we can bring to someone when we speak God's word over them could be so powerful. So there's a few ways that we can engage with God's word. Reading it regularly, meditating on God's word, studying it, and memorizing it. Is there one of these four things that you want to give a go? One of these four things you go, you know what, maybe I could try that this week or over the next few weeks. For me, it's the first one. I do read the Bible semi-regularly, but I really struggle with a regular rhythm, that's for sure. And so that's something I can grow in. What can you grow in? What can you give a go over the next few weeks? And while I was preparing this sermon, I just had this image in my head of a rock in a river. This is the best image I could find. Just like a rock that's been placed in a river, as the water goes over the rock over years and years, it transforms it. That's right. And as we spend our lives engaging in God's word over and over again, God's word, it reshapes who we are. It reshapes the rough edges and the hard corners, and it transforms us into something new. And so as people who want to be formed to look more like Jesus, spending time in his word is one of the best ways that we can do that. As a community who's seeking to grow together to glorify Jesus, let's take up this call and grow in our knowledge and experience and intimacy with God's word. Let me pray. God, I want to thank you again for your word. It is so incredible that we get to have your words, your revelation in this book that we can carry around with us each day. And Lord, I pray that you would lay an encouragement or a challenge on our lives to spend more time with you through your word. And Lord, I pray for all of us, if there was one of those four things that stands out to us, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know what that next step is. Guide us as we try and follow you each day. And remind us that as we go, Lord Jesus, you say that you will never leave us. You'll never forsake us, but you are with us right here, right now. Thank you for that, God.